Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Small Biz Talk Radio. This is Lori Leiker from Small Biz Coaching in Austin, Texas. Even though I am in Austin, I coach anywhere or anything, any type of business. Today, my guest is Craig Melby from Lease Smart. He's a realtor, but he specializes in helping small businesses negotiate commercial real estate licenses and purchases. Welcome to the show, Craig.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Now, you're located on the East Coast of the U.S., but you work with anyone across the United States, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I've got clients I'm advising on their leases literally from coast to coast. It's all pretty much the same across the country, the same issues. So many people just, they get this 40-page lease if they've taken it that far, and it's like, oh, my goodness, I don't even know hardly what this means. Am I getting a fair deal? Is this right? And so it's great that they can call me, and I'm happy to advise them on the business points of their lease. And almost like 100% of the time, they tell me they're really happy to have gotten some good advice on lease negotiation.
Well, most people, when they start their business is about what they do. And so
right.
A lot of the ancillary things, the bookkeeping, the accounting, business processes, and the lease negotiations are foreign to them, so they're kind of flying blind. Having someone like you in their corner who can go in and take a look at that lease give them a little bit of protection. What's the number one question you get from people who are looking to negotiate their first lease?
Well, it's easy for me to tell you the number one problem I see. The number one question is kind of all over the board. But the biggest thing is, I was talking to National Franchise Institute earlier today, and I was asking them the same questions you're asking me, basically. And the biggest problem is people think they can do it themselves, and they just can't. Or that they'll call on that sign in the window and, talk to the nice landlord's rep who's a nice, honest, wonderful person, but they don't realize that that person is representing the landlord and cannot offer them the best deal or show them different spaces. That's not their job. They would be doing a disservice to their boss or a client if they did those things. So you're lulled, it's human nature, you're lulled into a sense of, oh, this is a great person, we really like each other, and this is a fair enough deal, or this is a fine deal. And it's just not. They're not allowed to tell you all the things that you could have. And so perhaps the first biggest thing is it's all negotiable. The landlord will give you a lease and say, this is our standard lease, and here we've put in the terms we talked about, just sign here. And or take it to your attorney and sign here, too. And attorneys, and I'm not one, of course, I do business points. I don't do legal reviews. Attorneys like to do the legal review, but they don't want to do the business points. And so anyway, I'm going roundabout maybe, but the point is it's negotiable. And when the landlords say, this is our standard lease, we don't make changes to it. Well, yeah, they don't when you don't know what you're doing. And so maybe 9 out of 10 times there aren't changes done to it. But I can tell you 10 out of 10 times when we do it, there are always lots of changes. There's things in that lease that you need watered down or taken out. And there are not things in that lease that you want to have put in. And, getting back to maybe your other question, one of the biggest things I see is timing and rent commencement and lease commencement and expectations and build out. And, it's just we don't have time. I apologize. I'm not more specific yet, and I will be if you like. There's just so many things that small business owners don't do as well as they should. And it makes me sad when I see all the mistakes they make and the heartbreak and the money that they waste that they didn't have to.
Well, and that's part of the problem is that a lot of times as small business owners, we're used to doing everything ourselves because we have to, or we feel like we have to. And so we it's hard to know what is the saying, you don't know what you don't know. And so
when you go into a lease agreement,
gone are the days when you can do, like you said, gone are the days when you can shake hands and know that this is what you're going to get, when in reality it's all in the paperwork and the devil's in the details.
Well, absolutely. And I've fallen into the same trap where I'm thinking I can do everything myself, and maybe with enough dedication and time, you know, you could, but you'll probably never do it as good. And if it makes your listeners feel better, you know, some of my clients are titans of industry, geniuses, you know. No, they're way smarter than I am, but when it comes time to negotiating a commercial lease, they don't know. And so they come to me. And by the way, if you get a tenant rep, doesn't have to be me, but there's a business and industry called tenant representation, exclusive tenant representation. They will help you find the best spaces, many of which are off market, and negotiate the deal. And you don't pay for that. They're sharing the fee that the landlord is paying the landlord's agent. So it's kind of crazy that you can have a better job done for free, and yet you're not doing that. It's lunacy, and you just don't know better, you know. And like I said, it's human nature. You call them, the sign in a building, and you talk to the nice person. I actually wrote the book, or a book, on site selection and lease negotiation while I was working for a landlord sitting in a shopping center, and would have potential tenants come in and talk to me, because I'd realized this nice young couple that wants to open this business, they don't have a clue, and it's terrible. You know, they need someone to tell them what to do, you know, free rent and discounted rent and tenant improvement dollars. And unless you know off the top of your head the difference between a gross lease and a net lease and a full service lease and a modified gross lease and all these things, then you're going to leave a lot of money on the table. And then also, like, you know, signing that personal guarantee, you don't have to, or if you do have to, you can have it eliminated after a certain length of time, or limited to a certain dollar amount, or, you know, there's just endless things that you should do in that lease that would mitigate your risk and increase your profits. Anyway.
One of the things that you mentioned was the personal guarantee. How often will, let's say, my business, which is an LLC, I'll go in and I want to rent this space as my business. Why would a landlord want me to give a personal guarantee when my business is the one that's holding the lease? And how often do they do that? Is that only for new companies, or is that for all companies?
Well, they always want a personal guarantee because it's a good thing for the landlord. And if the landlord has put a bunch of money into your space to make it ready for you, then they really, really need to make sure that you're going to pay the rent. And if your company is new, like if you just formed this new LLC and you're going into business, then you don't have any assets. So in that case, a landlord would be foolish to just do a lease with you, because if things don't go out with your LLC with no personal guarantee, because if things don't go well, you just go, well, I did my best, but, you know, I'm out of here. And there's nothing for them to come after. So there are times when it's very fair to sign a personal guarantee. But, you know, if you get a five-year lease, maybe that personal guarantee should burn off and, you know, expire after 2 years. Because, you know, this contingent liability is a real thing. And, of course, if you haven't signed it personally, or if you're off the hook personally, that gives you a lot more leverage if you do need to renegotiate things in the future with the landlord. So it is a pretty big deal, and you need to know that when they say, oh, yeah, and sign here a personal guarantee, you can fight that, and you should fight it. And all the time we get that modified, and also, by the way, in many states, check with your lawyer, if you're married and your assets are owned jointly, if the spouse doesn't sign that personal guarantee, then my understanding is the landlord really can't come after your assets. So a real smart landlord, and many of them are, will really want the spouse to also sign the personal guarantee. But many times you can go to the landlord and go, hey, this deal is not going to work if my wife has to sign or my husband has to sign. They're not going to do it. They're not involved in the business. We've got to go elsewhere. And then many times the landlord will cave and not make you have your spouse sign. And by the way, there's
and just the thought of a personal guarantee would be enough for a lot of people to walk away from any kind of commercial lease. But that's pretty standard in the industry, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is to try to get it, yeah. And now, on the other hand, if you can take a space that doesn't need much build-out and the landlord's not going to spend much on it, and if you've been in business at all, then maybe you don't have to sign a personal guarantee at all, or you could sign a personal guarantee, but the dollar amount is limited, you know, $10,000 or $100,000 or whatever is appropriate, and that's the limit of your guarantee. Or they have something called an evergreen guarantee that, you know, rather than 5 years of a five-year lease, you're always responsible for 1 year if you default. And so that's a whole lot better. And then, of course, we put in what we call lease termination clauses that would say, all right, look, you know, if our business decreases in sales by X amount over the year before, or if we never hit this target amount, or, you know, if all these other things that could happen do happen based on your business and your market and your location, then in that case, we can give the landlord X number of months notice and pay X number of dollars in penalty and get out of the lease. You know, or, you know, you can also make it rather than a 5 year lease, make it a 2 year lease with a two year options or a 3 year option, or, you know, try to chop it up a little bit so your risk has just gone down a bunch. So there's lots of things that you can do to mitigate your risk, and, you know, you really need to, because as we both, lots and lots of small businesses fail. And even though you don't think you're going to be one of them, statistically you are, you know, so keep it in mind.
Well, yeah, and that's the other point. I had a client recently who was looking to open a kiosk in a shopping mall,
right,
and signed a personal guarantee, and she didn't even know what exactly she was going to be selling, and we were 2 weeks out from the date.
What?
How likely are landlords, if somebody is not prepared to start on the start date of the lease, how likely is a landlord going to be willing to push back a start date or an occupancy date?
Well, that's a huge item that we cover all the time, and it's common for the landlord to give you time to build out the space or do what you have to do. You know, there's lease commencement, and then there's rent commencement, which is usually after that. And then you can get, you know, we could sign a deal today, and the lease commencement starts in 2 months, but I have early occupancy to build out the space, take measurements, start getting plans and permits and order inventory and all that. And then after the lease starts in 2 months, then the rent doesn't start for another 2 months after that. And sometimes it'll be based on opening for business or getting a certificate of occupancy, or maybe we are open, but we need free rent to kind of ramp up our sales, or the rent will be discounted over a period of time. It depends on the tenant and the landlord and the situation and things, but free rent and discounted rent and landlord-tenant improvement dollars, I was talking to a landlord today that told me that 80% of the time they contribute some build-out to a tenant's needs, you know, and some tenants don't even know that. I got a tenant $16,000 years back, and when he was reading the lease, he calls me out. So he goes, Craig, what's this? You know, paragraph 32, it says the landlord's going to give us $16,000. Is that what it says? They go, yeah, that's what it says. And he says, why would they do that? I said, because we asked him to. You know, he didn't even realize, you know. But, you know, he was being reimbursed for, you know, carpet, paint, whatever, you know, it takes. And so that's very common unless
what
you don't
advantage-
know. It. They're, so. Yeah, go ahead.
What advantage is it to a landlord to pay for a build-out? Because it used to be that the landlords always did the build-out, and that's becoming less and less common. So why would a landlord today want to do a build-out?
Well, they don't ever really want to, but they have to. to make the deal work, or you'll go elsewhere. It depends a lot on the market. You know, I've been in this long enough to see that, you know, there are sometimes strong landlord markets and then strong tenant markets. You know, I've been in positions before where I basically had to, you know, get on my hands and knees and beg the landlord to give my tenant and my client and I this space, you know, because there was only one available in the market and we wanted it. Luckily, I had a good rapport and, you know, I came down and you can throw all the negotiating out the window. I just said, please give us this space. Come on, buddy. You know, but other times, you know, it's like, hey, we're looking at five spaces. Why should we come to yours? You know, so it just depends. And, of course, the landlords, if it's a great tenant, it's good synergy, they don't mind putting the money in because they can get it back by charging you some more rent. So sometimes they can put $10,000 into your space and the value of the building goes up $100,000 based on the additional rent that they're going to be able to charge you.
Mm-hmm. What is the advantage to looking in non-traditional spaces for small businesses? For instance, here in Austin, a lot of homes are being changed into commercial properties and leased out as offices. And by the same token, a lot of former retail space is being taken up by things like co-working spaces and,
right,
and office blocks, executive suites, and things like that. Why are we seeing this shift?
Well, you know, the demographics change, needs change, the millennials, you know, it used to be that you'd rise through your corporation until one day you had the big office in the corner with all the windows. And now the millennials, they don't even want that. They like the freedom of working as they want to, from home or not, or coming into the office and, you know, shared spaces. And it's much cheaper, you know, it's the new layouts than it used to be. So there, it just needs and desires change. And so you're just keeping up with the times, basically. And it's maybe a lot cheaper to rent some space in a retail environment. But basically, open floor plans in many cases are working better for office users. And why you would convert houses would probably be economics also. It's just the houses are there and the office space is expensive and whatever. So that's pretty much all been going on for years. We see spaces all the time that we would call functionally obsolescent because the offices are just too big. No one wants them that big anymore. And then, of course, the parking requirement. Back in the day when everyone had huge offices, you didn't need that many parking spaces for the given size of the building, because there weren't that many people in it. But now you could put in at least twice as many people into an office building, so you need twice as much parking, and some of the older buildings just don't have it. So you've got to watch for all those mm-hmm. things.
Is there an advantage to the owner of a retail outlet, a retail building, to go with a non-traditional retail, you know, a non-retail tenant? Does that help them with their property costs, or does that have no impact whatsoever?
Well, yeah, there's a lot to do with synergy. And so there'll be landlords, if you're in a nice enough property, that will turn down tenant after tenant because they want just the right one that's good for all the rest of their tenants. You know, it's a real partnership. So, like, when you say non-traditional mm-hmm. retail, I don't know exactly what you mean, if you're talking about a – from the retailer's perspective or the landlord's, but I would be, I'm always careful because my most successful clients are the ones that pay the most in rent. Why? Because they're getting the best locations. And a little bit of money saved mm-hmm. in rent, especially in retail, is going to cost you lots of money in sales. You know, if you don't have that top of mind awareness, if you don't have the image or the ingress, egress or parking or, you know, if you're hard to get to, or you know, get away from, you know, when you're done shopping, that all affects everything. And so, I wouldn't even go into business if you can't afford good space and you're going to get something poor. You know, that's maybe a lost cause from the beginning, and it, you know, I wouldn't even do it.
So it's better to get just wait. Take your time, wait for the right space.
I think
now
so.
We've talked about getting into a lease and finding the right space, but what about when you need to break a lease? I mean, obviously nobody rents a property thinking, well, 6 months down the line, I got to get out of this thing. What are some of the things that small businesses need to look for when they're looking at their leases about early termination?
Well, it's a great question, and I've actually, back in the when the economy was poor, I used to field a lot of calls. People would call and say, hey, Craig, can you help me? I've got 3 years left on my lease, but I'm out of money. What do I do? And so, you know, we would get to the landlord and say, look, we know we have a lease. We know we have an obligation, but we're out of money. So what do you want to do? You know, you want to sue us, come after us, this, that. And the fact is, if you don't have any assets, then the landlord would be foolish to spend money chasing you down. And so have you signed the lease personally? You know, are you willing to threaten a personal bankruptcy if need be? That's part of the negotiation. Has a landlord been involved in your problems? Did they live up to all their promises? And what I always advise people is, like, if you're not doing well, don't wait until you're out of money and then say, hey, landlord, I did the best I could. Or even worse yet, just leave, you know, in the middle of the night and leave your keys in the door or on the counter. You know, I had a landlord call me one time and say, geez, Craig, you know, if they had called me, if this tenant in the shopping center had called me and let me know, I would have let them stay for free until we found a new tenant. Because it makes the center look terrible to have a bunch of vacancies in it. So the best thing you can do is communicate. And if you got the stomach for it, you know, then call the landlord and say, hey, you know, things aren't going well, and I just wanted you to know that. So the landlord can start looking for a new tenant. They might lower your rent just unilaterally to try to help you out. You know, back when we had big problems a few years back with the economy, there were proactive landlords that would call up their tenants and say, hey, I know times are tough. What kind of rent should we talk about? You know, let's lower your rent so you don't leave altogether. And it was a smart thing to do. So you can always renegotiate a lease, and just good communication with the landlord is what you want to do. You don't want to bury your head in the sand and hope for something better.
Is there protections built into commercial? It absolutely did. Are there protections built into most commercial leases that you've read for a default by the landlord, or is basically giving them notice and moving out your only recourse?
For default by the landlord or by the tenant?
By the landlord. So let's say the landlord fails to make repairs. Let's say there's a water main break.
Okay.
And they don't make repairs to your space. Or there's another issue with, say, there's rodents in the ceiling.
Right.
And they don't do anything about it, and you've got sinking ceiling tiles because it's just gross.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's a really, really good point. And the typical lease is written by the landlord, designed by the landlord, and it tries its best to keep you from suing the landlord. So most leases say that you can't sue the landlord. And sometimes you flat out can't do it at all. Sometimes it's unless it's acts of gross negligence or unless it's acts of negligence or this or that. But this is where your attorney will step in, and the attorney to attorney can argue about what's right and fair and how that should be worded. But, yeah, you don't normally have as much recourse in the commercial lease as you might with residential. And, you know, the good news is I don't see that happening too often. Most landlords are pretty sophisticated, and they maintain the property pretty well, and they know their responsibilities, and they don't want to leave a tenant or lose a tenant. But then there's also something called a non-disturbance clause that is not in a lot of leases, and you want to put it in there. For instance, if the lender does foreclose, then that's the one time, and check with your attorney in your state, but that's the one time that your lease could be canceled out from under you, is when the lender takes over. Now it's all new. Now, if the center is sold, the buyer has to live up to all the leases that are as part of the property. But if a lender forecloses, if you don't have the right language, the lender can decide whether to keep you and your lease in there or cancel everything. And if you've got a booming business and put a lot of money in there, you don't want that risk. So you want to have added to the lease a standard non-disturbance clause and get the lender to sign off on it when you do that deal.
We're talking with Craig Melby from LeaseSmart. Craig, we've got about 5 minutes. What are three things that you always recommend to people who are businesses that are looking to buy, rent their first space?
Well, if you're going to rent your first space, first of all, make sure you're looking at all the possibilities. There are off-market spaces that you won't know about. So it's free, a tenant rep in your area that will work with you and on a fiduciary basis and have them help you find what you may not be able to find on your own. And two, know that everything is negotiable. Don't just be signing that lease as is. And three, the biggest mistake companies make is timing. They may call me, for instance, and say, hey, I need a space in 2 months. Well, no, you should have called me 10 months ago. Don't forget now, and I'll make this quick run out of time. You got to negotiate. First of all, you got to find the deal that you want. Then you got to negotiate the deal. That can take months, literally, if the landlord's big enough. And then the legal review and all that's part of it. Then if you're going to do any build-out, well, first you have to have – well, you got to get a building permit. Before you do that, you got to have architectural plans drawn. Each of those can take a month or so. And then is when you start hammering nails and get it ready. So it can take a lot of time. And so leave yourself much more time than you probably were planning on. And then one final thing, too, if your lease is coming up for renewal, you would practically be foolish just to – say, okay, fine, I exercise my option to stay, and we're staying. You should weigh in advance so that the landlord knows you have time to relocate, look at that option to renew and decide, do you want it exactly as is, or could you make it a little better? Could you get some incentives to stay? Could you get yourself released from that personal guarantee? Do you want a new air conditioner, new carpet, paint, different rent structure? There's many things. A lease renewal is a negotiable event, and most people are not aware of that.
Thank you so much, Craig. I appreciate it. Where can people find you?
LeaseSmart.com is my website, all one word, LeaseSmart. Or they can call me. I'll give you my 800 number, 800-962-2419. I do consulting all over the country, and if it's just a simple question, just call me. I'll answer it free, no charge. Happy to help. If it's more complicated, then I'll have to charge something, but it's usually way, way, way less than the money that I save clients. So just give me a call or go to my website and find me. I'd love to help.
And if people want to listen to your podcast, your LeaseSmart podcast, where can they find you?
Yeah, that is a LeaseSmart Corecast on iTunes. They can look it up there, or leasesmartpodcast.com if they want to hear it on their computer. And I've got probably 40 shows in there now, and I cover all this stuff in detail. And it's practically getting an MBA in commercial real estate. If you were to go to the first one and listen to all of them, you're going to be pretty smart, because I don't hold back. I tell you everything that there is to know. And I interview some really fascinating people, too. So if this is something you're interested in, you really ought to go there.
That's fabulous. Thanks so much, Craig, for your time.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking with Craig Melby from LeaseSmart on Small Biz Talk Radio. I'm Lori Leiker, Small Biz Coaching. My website is smallbizcoaching.net. Come back next time. We'll have another great interview. We're looking forward to a whole raft of new people joining us between now and February. So check back often and see who we've got coming up. Thank you so much for listening. My name again is Lori Leiker. I'm with smallbizcoaching.net, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you.